Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is
www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, no spaces, all small letters, www.moresureword.com.
At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Now, what I want to talk about is an aspect of the atonement. Jesus Christ died for sinners. That's the gospel. And today, it is very likely that the majority of people who claim to be Christians have never heard passionate preaching of the gospel. Very definite article. The gospel in fullness. Now, we've got a file up on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation radio simply called The Gospel. And I hope that you'll listen to that again, even if you've heard it before, because there's a blessing in it. How could we ever fail to be blessed and encouraged by The Gospel? And I think every man that God calls to preach is given The Gospel. What else do we have to preach? And different men may have different emphasis on different portions of the gospel, but the gospel is the pearl of great price. It is everything. But I think it's safe to say that in that message, you probably will know someone who needs to hear that message. Certainly anyone who has had any depth of involvement with the so-called word faith movement needs to hear that message. Those who have sat under the ministry of people like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers, people like that need to hear that message. And they need to hear the message about the unorthodox gospel of the word faith movement as well. But one of the trials of all the saints in this Antichrist war on the saints, one of the trials is the isolation that is part of the sanctifying work which the Lord has been doing to separate his people unto himself. And it doesn't necessarily feel good to feel like the lone sparrow on the rooftop. Well, you're not alone. But that sanctifying word which the Lord has been doing with his people, sanctifying them unto himself, is good for us. But brethren, we must be so very careful to be sure that God is doing the separating by his word and his spirit, and not we ourselves doing the separating and sanctifying. You see, God is the sanctifier and not we ourselves. And few realize how very serious the Jude 19 admonition really is in this time. Even though the Lord has indeed been doing a sanctifying work, even though he has been separating his people unto himself, we must also be sure, and we should know, that his plan ultimately is to gather his people. And this gathering will be by sound doctrine, even in a time of great apostasy when men will not endure sound doctrine. That is a mark and sign of this time. Jude 19 said, "These be they who separate themselves." You see, it's one thing if God separates you, and it's something else again if you separate yourself. "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." And that's a capital S Spirit there. That's one of the marks of someone who does not have the Spirit. They separate themselves. See, we do not separate ourselves, and we do not compromise sound doctrine. So it gets a little bit difficult sometimes. "We gather with the one whose name is called the Word of God by sound doctrine." Sound doctrine can never divide in a harmful way. Now, false doctrine will divide every bit as much as sound doctrine, and false doctrine divides in a harmful way. But sound doctrine, true doctrine, and doctrine just means teaching, true teaching, is never going to divide in a harmful way. And we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, part of the ministry of reconciliation is never going to divide in a harmful way. And we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, part of the ministry of reconciliation will be an outreach to many precious saints who have been taken by another gospel of antinomianism, another gospel of gain is godliness. Look, Jesus said it is impossible to serve God and mammon, and the gain is godliness. Gospel is another gospel. And many people have been taken by a form of Christian metaphysics or Christian occultism. The basis of the perverse doctrines is that the great work of redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ was not finished on the cross of Calvary. That is the basis of so many different kinds of perverse doctrines, which gives openings for people to be deceived. Openings for perverse doctrines also occur whenever one would fail to distinguish the difference between sin and the sin offering. Yeshua the Messiah said on that cross, "It is finished." And he who knew no sin said, "It is finished." Understand these most important facts. Listen carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ never knew sin. The Lord Jesus Christ never was sin. The Lord Jesus Christ never went to hell to slug it out with the devil after the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect, once for all, spotless, perfect Lamb of God. The Lamb of God was, is, and always will be the perfect, once for all, sin offering. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And part of this duty of love is to admonish heretics to publicly repent of preaching another gospel. And we must also give warning to those whom they might deceive. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 really nails it. "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now, in Romans 16, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." It is a very sad sign of the times how few understand the Old Testament or Hebrew term for sin and or sin offering is the same word. Yes, there's only one word in Hebrew for both sin and sin offering. Hata. In the Strong's, it's Hebrew word 2403. And we find that word hata 294 times. And 118 times it means sin offering. And 176 times, it means sin. But it's the same word. There's only one word for both sin and sin offering. Now, the professors of the Jesus died spiritually heresy are unaware of the fact that these two English terms of sin and sin offering are one and the same term in the Hebrew language. And since all writers of scriptures were Hebrews except Luke, who was a proselyte Jew, the same word with the same understanding, how it applied to both sin and or the sin offering, it was the same Greek word as well. Yeah, it's amazing. But the Greek language, just like the Hebrew language, only has one word in it for both sin and sin offering. Now, to the translators of the 1611 KJV Holy Bible, it was the same as well. At that time, it would have been inconceivable how such blasphemous heresies could be so widely taught today. To those 1611 translators who had never heard of humanism, who had never heard of Nietzsche, who had never heard of Darwin, who had never heard of the religion of evolution, to those 1611 translators, it would have been inconceivable how some of today's blasphemous heresies could even be thought, much less believed and taught. In 1611, it would have been unthinkable that one could publicly teach such strong delusions as we see widely taught today in what is called the church, or that any, let alone many, would follow such teachers. The term translated as sin offering and or sin is one and the same word in both the Hebrew and the Greek. This is something that's important for you to understand. It was and is the context in which the term is used, which expresses whether one is speaking about sin or the sin offering. And the context is always obvious regarding the difference between sin and sin offering. And everyone should understand that things taken out of context often become pretexts for false doctrine. If the context concerned the subject of sacrifices, then the sin offering was understood to be the meaning of the word, the Hebrew word hata. And if sin itself was under discussion, then the same term, the same word hata, would be used, but then one would understand the obvious meaning to be that of sin and not the sin offering. Messiah, the Lamb of God, was the spotless, perfect sin offering. Messiah never sinned, nor was he ever sin. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeshua HaMashiach, the I Am, the perfect, spotless, and without blemish, the once for all sin offering, that is the real Messiah. So why is this important? That's what I want to go through with you. That's what I hope that you'll see and not only understand it, it's not that hard to understand, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I feel very comfortable in sharing this important understanding with anybody and everybody. The term that is translated sin offering and or sin is one and the same word in both Hebrew and Greek. It was and is the context in which the term is used, which expresses whether one is speaking about sin or sin offering. And everyone should understand that things taken out of context can easily become pretexts for false doctrine. If the context concerned the subject of sacrifices, then the sin offering was understood to be the meaning of the Hebrew term hata. And if sin itself was under discussion, then the same term hata could be used, but then with the obvious meaning of sin and not the sin offering. Messiah, the Lamb of God, was the spotless, perfect sin offering. Messiah never sinned. Messiah never was ever sin. He was not sin. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeshua HaMashiach, the I Am, was and is and always will be perfect, was, is, and always will be spotless, was, is, and always will be without blemish. Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the once for all sin offering. And that is the real Lord Jesus Christ. Now we run into a problem, and why this is important and why I think I ought to take this time to try to get a specific message on this is because of just one verse in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Messiah is the sin offering. Messiah is not and never was made to be sin. All who know him should know him as the sin offering to satisfy the offense of sinners to the holiness of God. His becoming of the sin offering is by no means an excuse or license for anyone to sin, but in fact is the best of reasons to want to stop sinning. As an Israelite, the Apostle Paul very clearly and without any doubt had the sin offering in view in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The plain simple fact is that the term for sin and the sin offering is identical in Hebrew and Greek. And the Apostle simply follows the customary practice of the Hebrew translators when rendering Hebrew into Greek. And the translators of the 1611 KJV also did likewise. And all ancient translators of Hebrew into Greek, even the corrupt Septuagint translators out of Alexandria, used the Greek term for sin, hamartia, to translate the Hebrew term for sin offering. Yes, the same Greek word, hamartia, is even used in the Septuagint for sin offering. So 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin, hamartia, for us, who knew no sin, hamartia, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be hamartia for us, who knew no hamartia, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be hata for us, who knew no hata, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If I say it in either the Hebrew or the Greek, you don't have any problem with it, do you? Now, if I say it in the English, you should see where there could be a possible problem. No Jewish believer in Messiah, and no saint in 1611, unlike many modern blasphemers and heretics today, would have confused sin with the sin offering, even though they are expressed by the same term in Hebrew and Greek. And this is also true with the terms trespass and trespass offering. Yeah, it's the same word for trespass and trespass offering. Same word. Now, the term curse, like we find in Galatians 3, verses 10 through 13, is also to be understood in this sense. Death is the curse of the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? Very simple. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And death is the curse of the law of sin and death. And indeed, Messiah was made a curse in the sense that he suffered the curse of the law, which is death. He suffered the curse of the law of sin and death, which is death, on our behalf. However, he was not cursed as sin, as some heretics very blatantly blaspheme. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. You don't call Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God. No, you sure don't. Certainly, they knew the meaning of the word accursed, and therefore, such who would do that are not speaking by the Spirit of truth. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20 gives us the context for 2 Corinthians 5:21, right? Let's see if those verses, those four verses before the verse that can cause some problems, don't help us have perspective. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. The truly born again child of God acts upon new principles, by new rules, with new ends, in a new company. The real true believer is created again as a new creature. Christ, by the work of regeneration, is being formed in him by the born-again experience, the experience of regeneration, which is a work of God. The heart is not merely set right, but a new heart is given to the truly born-again believer. And such are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And though we have the same name and are the same person, we are changed in our character and conduct And these words must and do mean more than an outward change in appearance. The one who before this new creative work of God saw no beauty at all in the Savior that we should earnestly desire him, now loves him above all things. The preaching of the cross is never foolishness to us. We would never see some religious teachings with or without Hebrew spin to have a greater importance to us. We always see the preaching of the cross to be the power of God to make this change in us, that the image of Christ be formed in us. God calls all of us saints. Yeah, that's what God calls us, saints, meaning redeemed, repentant sinners. And God calls all of us saints to lay aside our enmity and accept the salvation that he alone can offer. Christ knew no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was made the sin offering. He was not made a sinner. Christ was made the sin offering. The only acceptable sacrifice for the willful sin and offense to the holiness of God for any man. The purpose of all of this was that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, and that we might be justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And if we understand that, can any of us work too hard or give too much or suffer too much for him? He who is God the Father gave his only begotten Son to be the sin sacrifice for our willful sins and offenses against his holiness. And we have all offended his holiness by willful sin, for which there was no provision in the law of Moses, other than looking forward to the lamb which Abraham prophesied that God would provide himself a lamb. We see a love there manifest in what God did at the cross. What awesome love! God providing himself a lamb, the sin offering, the propitiation, the payment, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's awesome. He was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. That's awesome. That's the gospel. And therefore, we do rejoice if we are counted worthy to have all manner of evil said against us falsely. It's cause for rejoicing when we can hear Yeshua speaking to our spirit, Matthew 5:11-12, to us. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Glory to God. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Yeshua said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And repentance is not a one-time deal. It is the way of life for the true believer, for someone who has truly been regenerated, someone who has truly been born again. And when we forget this, we're in trouble. We've been deceived. Jesus said it often enough that we should not forget, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Hope you understand this. It's not a little deal. It's a very important thing that we understand that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He was not a sinner. He was never made to be sin. He was made to be the perfect sin offering, the once for all perfect sacrifice for sinners. You see, what happened there was a legal thing. How could it be possible for God to consign Satan and his followers to an eternal lake of fire known as hell and grant mercy to any sinner? How could it be possible? There was no other way it could be possible. That's why the Lord, in agony, sweating blood, knowing that he would have to experience separation from the Father, knowing that he would have to take the curse of the law of sin and death upon himself and experience separation from the Father, separation from the Holy Spirit that he had from all eternity past in a closeness none of us could understand. See, it wasn't just that Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't just that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered the physical pain of that cross, but the Father suffered too, and the Holy Spirit suffered too.
You see, when the princes of this world, if the princes of this world had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. When Satan got the designated high priest of God to put the Lamb of God on that altar of the cross, that was the greatest imaginable violation of the law of sin and death possible. And when that great violation of the law of sin and death took place, when the Lamb of God willingly, the one who is the life, willingly took the curse of the law of sin and death upon himself, he said, "It is finished." And because Satan got the princes of this world to crucify the Lord of glory, had the princes of this world known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But because Satan did that, and because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do what he did, God is perfectly justified to consign Satan and all his followers to an eternal lake of fire. He is perfectly justified to do that and receive his mercy and his grace on his terms and not anybody else's terms. There is only one way. It is a straight gate, and it is a very narrow way. There are not a lot of roads that lead to heaven. There's only one very straight gate and one very narrow way. And every other way leads to what everyone deserves. Satan and all his followers. Every man is a born sinner, born at enmity with God, and everyone. Any saint who is a saint knows that he deserves to go to hell, just as sure as he knows why he is not going to get what he deserves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is
www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. C-O-M. That's all one word, no spaces, all small letters, www.moresureword.com.
At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, "When you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh."